Hi, I'm Jennifer. I'm an addict. Our readings are extremely powerful, and I'm so glad we read them before all of our meetings. And anyway, I'm grateful to be here. I really love this convention. I come every year, and I'm grateful to have a sponsor on the program committee that asked me to do this and put me in a situation that I'm really uncomfortable doing, but willing to do what I need to do to stay clean today. And I'm extremely nervous, but I know all I have is my experience, strength, and hope, and that's what I have to share, and I can do that. So first off, a little bit about me and how I got here, and a little bit about my backstory, and then I'll talk about our topics, because I think it's important to share where I come from in order to show how I learned to gain some acceptance, faith, and humility. I grew up in a really great household. My parents were amazing, awesome, very supportive, but I just never felt like I fit in. When I was in fifth grade, I moved from one area of Montgomery County to another area, and the day before I moved to this new area, my parents said I wanted my hair cut short, but I swear it was them that made me cut my hair short. But regardless, I got my hair cut really, really short, and the first day at my new school, these kids came up to me and asked me if I was a boy or a girl, and I turned into this weird little girl that people didn't want to play with. And all throughout my junior high and high school, I never picked up a drink or a drug ever, and I just joined things like SHOP and DARE and MAD, and SHOP is like students helping other people, and I was just really searching for these places where I felt like I could fit in and belong. So when I decided to go to college, I went to University of Kansas, and out as far away as I could, but all you needed to do is graduate high school in order to get in there, so it was a really good thing for me because I was not motivated and didn't get the greatest grades. So I went out to University of Kansas, and the first day in my new dorms, I picked up my first drink. I blackout drank that night, and those girls that I met that first night, within 2 weeks, they told me that they didn't want to hang out with me anymore because they think I'm an alcoholic, and unless I got help, that they wouldn't hang out with me anymore. But my party just started, right? So I ended up finding other people just to hang out, found other people to hang out. So I ended up getting put on academic probation and leave before I got kicked out, get put on academic probation, leave before I got kicked out, and I joined a sorority at one point in time. I got kicked out of that and ended up back in Maryland. And back in Maryland, I ended up it didn't stop at drinking for me, but I ended up just like putting myself in situations all over D.C. and Baltimore that I shouldn't be putting myself in. Sometimes when I come home or wake up in the morning, my car would be in a different position. So somebody obviously drove my car home. I don't know who these people are even today. And I got pregnant. I have a son. He's 17 right now. I got clean when he was 9. But I was always too tired, too hungover, too interested in some guy to really put my time and energy into him. And I may have physically been present, some of those times, but I wasn't emotionally available for my son. And I got arrested in front of him one time. One time the cops came over to my house, and I had a warrant out for my arrest, and I saw some guys at the door, and they had this brown outfit on, and it was on a Sunday, but for some reason I thought it was the UPS guys, and it was not the UPS guys, it was the police coming for me and threw me, in the back of a paddy wagon, and I had to walk up the street in front of all my neighbors in the zip tie cuffs, and I had to leave my son with strangers, even though they were police officers. I had to leave my son with strangers at that point in time. Basically, I've been in and out of Narcotics Anonymous a few times. I actually knew a friend of mine that was in Narcotics Anonymous, and I'd go to, like, his celebrations to go support him, or I would go for a day or two thinking maybe, something terrible happened to me, and I'm like, oh, maybe I need NA, and I would go to a meeting or two, but I just wasn't ready yet. And, you know, finally, it wasn't one of those things that I'd say is the worst thing that ever happened to me. It was just one of those times where I just woke up the next morning sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I know we hear that a lot, but it was a night where I got arrested again for the umpteenth time for something unmanageable, and when the cop let me go, he said, no matter what you do, just don't drive your car until you get your shit straight, right? And so I was like, okay, no problem. Well, that night, this really cute boy called me, and he wanted to go get pictures from Applebee's because he got a gift certificate for Applebee's, so I go from Germantown, Maryland to go pick him up in D.C. because he doesn't have a car, and I drive back to Germantown where the Applebee's is, and we're drinking pitchers all night and doing other things, right? And then we drive past the police station back to my house, we forget cigarettes, go back to the 7-Eleven and back again, and I just woke up next to this guy going like, you know, what am I doing? I'm just exhausted and tired of this lifestyle. And so I called that friend that I was telling you guys about, and basically I had called him before, by the way, but, you know, I called him again, and he sat me down, and he basically said to me, hey, Jen, do you know what? Every time you come to me, things are getting worse and worse. Every time you come to me, you've done something that you said you're never going to do, so now you have an opportunity to do something different, and it's up to you, or you could continue down the path that you're going down. And I'm sure he said that to me before, but for some reason that time I was able to hear him. So I started going to these Narcotics Anonymous meetings, and I was terrified, like absolutely terrified. You know, I always wore all black. I'm kind of in black today too, but all black. I always had my hoodie like over my head and my arms crossed, and I'd be mean mugging everybody from across the room and, you know, basically telling everybody to, you know, but at the same time, as the newcomer and as the most important person in the room, so why wasn't anybody coming up and talking to me? And so slowly, I just still kept on coming back, and I started to hear things that I needed to hear, right? Or I started to identify in. And, you know, once I finally started identifying in, for the first time, I finally raised my hand, and I said, hi, I'm Jen, I'm an addict, and I need help. And that's when I started getting my help. And people started coming up to me and asking me to go out to dinner after the meetings, right? And I'd go to these dinners, and I wouldn't say a word. Like, maybe answer a yes or no question, but I didn't know how to, you know, be social. I didn't know how to communicate. I didn't know how to do anything. So, but the next time I saw them the next week, they asked me to go out again. And I slowly started getting to know these people and starting to build these networks, right? At that point in time, you know, I started hearing these suggestions that, you know, we have, and, you know, one is getting a sponsor, right? And the first sponsor, I had a sponsor that had under a year in the beginning because she was the first person that asked me to coffee. But that woman, she brought me to coffee, and, you know, she one thing she said to me during that coffee is she turned to me and grabbed my hand and said, do you know what, you are worth this, you know, and I hadn't heard that in a really long time. You know, I told you my parents were amazing and supportive, but, you know, after a while, you know, that relationship was extremely strained. So, when I got my next sponsor who had a little bit more time and had a working knowledge of the steps, et cetera, you know, I was, like, going on this, like, sponsor search, right? And it's like, I have to pick this perfect sponsor, and I need to find this amazing sponsor, and which is true, but at the same time, at that point in time, I just needed a sponsor. And so I remember sitting down with this woman, and she told me, you know, I was like, I just don't know what to do. And she's like, you know what, Jen, sometimes you just need to take a leap of faith and just go for it and do it. And at that point in time was the first time I feel like I took, like, that leap of faith. And you know, it was amazing, and I worked with her for a really long time. And, you know, especially growing up, like, I just felt so unaccepted, right? And I didn't, you know, for me, acceptance was other people accepting me, right? And thank God I had sponsors like this woman who loved me and accepted me through so much, because I was a pain in the ass when I first came in here. I was so defiant. So, like, she would give me a suggestion, and I'd be like, yeah, no. Like, straight to her face, you know? And just because I was like, oh, they say you love people unconditionally in here, I'm going to test that, right? And so, you know, that was, you know, I was trying to once again just gain that acceptance from other people and so on. And I also, in the beginning, you know, once again, social acceptability is what was important to me. So, you know, I was just trying to, like, just gain people's acceptance. So I'd wear, like, low-cut shirts and trying to get, you know, accepted by men and, you know, in general. And also just any, I'd join, like, I would hang out with any kind of group of people, but I would just like what they liked and do what they wanted to do and so on. And so through working the steps, I started learning what I like and learning what I want and learning how to love myself. And I'm so grateful for these, like, women in this program that have stuck by me through some, you know, crazy times in order to start learning how to love myself in this program. You know, I talk to a lot of people about this topic because, especially humility to me, like, that's one I struggle with a lot, right? And I was trying to think about the first time I became, like, I truly felt I became in a humble place. And one of the earliest time that I can think of is, you know, I used to be pretty judgmental, right? And, I would always say, if, you know, I see somebody having a relationship and one of them is using, and I'm like, I can't, you know, I can't believe that person is still dating that person. He's obviously using, and so on. So, and I would get, you know, all frustrated and, like, not my business, but of course I think it is. And so I ended up dating this guy for a while, right? I started dating him, and he had a year and a half clean in jail, and so he came out, he had 2 months out of jail with 18 months, and we dated for about a year and a half, and about 2 months before we broke up, he picked up, and it was chaotic, and it was crazy, and I didn't know until I was actually in that situation how hard it would be to walk away from somebody that was using, that I cared for, and that I loved. And so, first off, I had to humble myself and ask for help, and number two, I also had to learn, what it taught me is how to learn how to accept other people for where they're at as well. And so, you know, that was one of the first times that I realized, like, I finally got to a point of, you know, a point where I was in a humble place. I was also talking to people about, you know, other places where I, you know, have to practice humility. And I mentioned to you guys that I have a 17-year-old, right? And he's amazing. We have one of the most amazing relationships today, first off, all due to the, you know, due to this program. But, you know, I have a baby daddy that comes with the baby, and the baby daddy was the drug dealer, you know, baby daddy, and I expected him to be a dad, and he was unfortunately unable to show up for him, and he had been in and out of my son's life, and he financially and just physically in general. And I was talking to a friend of mine about, you know, difference between, like, swallowing my pride and putting my pride aside. And I feel like when I swallow my pride, I'm just, like, pushing it down, and I hold these resentments, and I'm, like, angry and frustrated versus actually, you know, putting my pride aside and accepting him for where he is at. And in those types of cases, I'm more practicing that principle of humility versus just holding a, you know, like swallowing, you know, holding, biting my tongue and holding a resentment. So, that's another huge area where I feel that, you know, I've, in my experience on where I've had to practice humility. Another thing I was thinking about is, you know, service. This whole convention this weekend is about service, right? And it's awesome. I see so many people I've served, well, some people in here that I've served with throughout these years. And last year, I had an opportunity to be program chair. And when I was nominated for that position, I was so terrified of, like, I'm not going to be able to do it. I can't do this. I'm not responsible enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. And I called up a friend of mine before I accepted the nomination, and she, you know, she's like, well, why don't you think you can do it? And I listed all those, you know, things I just told you all. And she said, you know what, Jen, and once again, this leap of faith thing came back into play, right, where she's like, sometimes you just need to take that leap of faith and give yourself a chance and show that you can do this. And so at that point in time, I did. And it gave me such a great opportunity, first off, to practice acceptance as well, and accepting the people in my group, accepting the decisions of my group, because, of course, I like to control, and I knew how program worked the year before because I happened to be on the committee, so I wanted it to go my way. And I had to be basically a silent person to an extent. Like, I could put my opinion out there, but it was the group's decision on how everything went. And that was, you know, that was a great experience for me also to take into the outside world, like for my job and so on. You know, faith also to me, when I heard, like, when I was new to the program and I heard everybody talking about faith, and it scared me off a little bit, because even though I grew up in a Jewish family and, like, we went to synagogue, which is like church for Jewish people, right? And so I went to synagogue every once in a while, and I didn't have like a hateful or unhateful relationship. It just kind of was always present. But when I was using, I like lost that altogether, and I really thought I was an atheist and there was no God and so on. So when I first came in and I saw these steps on the wall, and all these steps had the G word in it, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to do any of those steps with a G word in it. And I was terrified, you know, I was just like, it's just not going to happen. I'll just skip over those and, you know, whatever. And slowly but surely, certain things just started happening in my life that, you know, I just couldn't explain, right? So the guy that I was telling you guys about that helped me come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, so I was picking up a 60-day key tag at this meeting. I was going there to pick up my 60-day key tag, and right after I was going to that meeting, I was going to go to the bar. I was like, picking up my 60 days, I put my 60 days in, and I'm out, right? And so I went and I picked up that key tag, and after that meeting, that same guy came up to me and pulled me aside and grabbed me and said, Jen, I am so glad you chose to stick and stay for another day. And by him just saying that, made me come back, you know, another day. So that was like my first experience with, you know, feeling some sort of connection with a level of a higher power. Like, to me, it's, you know, at that point in time, it was somebody speaking to me through the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And since then, it's been, you know, it's changed many times. But, and I still don't necessarily, you know, call it God. I call it my higher power, because it changes form for me all the time. And I don't have anything I specifically, you know, yeah, I don't call it the God word right now, but that could change. I never know, because it's been a constant change for me so far. You know, today I'm just so grateful to be here, and you know, the relationship that I have with my son today, it once again is amazing. He's about to go off to college in the fall, and like, I'm just overwhelmed by that. Like, if I was still using back in the day, like, he was not doing well in school, and granted, he was 9 or whatever, but he wasn't doing well in school. He wasn't doing, he wasn't, involved in activities because I didn't have the time or the energy to put him in soccer or anything along that line. But now he's, like, in the marching band and trying out for the marching band at West Virginia University and University of Delaware, and might be going to one of those two schools in the fall, and I'm going to have a big life change coming up when he's not here. But, I'm just so proud of the person that he's turned into, and that has to do with also this program. Not only did I change, but my son grew up in these rooms, right? Like, as I said, he was 9 when I got clean, and I remember when I used to call my friends before I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and I told them, hey, they invited me to a party, right? And I'd be like, oh, sorry, I can't come, I have Ethan. They're like, oh, sorry, maybe next time. Now when I talk to people and they're having a barbecue or a party, and I say, oh, sorry, I have Ethan, everybody's like, bring him, and he's closer to some of my friends than I am because of the relationships that he's built in here. So, today I have, an amazing job that, the only reason why, I have the job is because of Narcotics Anonymous, but the tools that I have learned in this program that I was able to take with me, like these spiritual principles and doing service, really helped me be able to grow in my company. And I remember I got a promotion a couple months ago, right? And I was so freaking out because it's like this huge promotion. And of course I didn't think, I went through this stuff that I don't deserve it and so on. But, we go around the table, right? And we would talk about like, what was your previous job and what school did you go to and so on. And I'm sitting, everybody's like, I went to Harvard and I used to work at this bank and I went to MIT and I worked at this bank. And I want to be like, hi, I'm Jen, I'm an addict. And, but the bottom line is they felt that I deserved that position or they wouldn't have given it to me, right? And so, so all that has to do with you guys, right? All that has to do with you guys. All that has to do with, me working some steps and practicing spiritual principles, such as acceptance, faith, and humility. And, and once again, service really, really, truly helped me, like, learn how to be a part of a group, not just Jen trying to control the whole thing, because once again, as I mentioned, I like to control the whole thing. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. I'm glad you're all here, and I'm really grateful for this convention and for being asked to speak. Thanks.